First Contact Radio. I'm your host, Maarten Horst, and this is the show with the latest galactic news. A stunning show bringing you information from the stars, from ETs, from UFOs, from crystal skulls, as my guest today is Joshua Shapiro. And Joshua is a renowned international researcher and lecturer and author of many books about the crystal skulls and everything related to it, like UFOs, ETs, Lemuria, Atlantis, and other subjects. So, Joshua, I really want to welcome you heartfeltly to the show, and we're going to have a fantastic talk together about what's going on.
Thank you, Martin, for having me on the program. And if there are any of our friends in Holland listening, I give them greetings since I had a chance to live in your country for a while.
Yes, as you told me. But in fact, we have listeners from I don't know where. Sometimes I receive emails from Madagascar, Ecuador, China, from people that are listening. So sure, there are people listening from Holland as well. I'm not sure about it. I cannot see it. But everybody that's listening, welcome to the show. And I'm going to have a fantastic talk with Joshua about his research with crystal skulls and his experiences with it. So, Joshua, can you start by telling the skull that you told me about that was found in Peru and that seems to be hundreds of years old? What's the mystery about it?
Okay. What Martin is asking me about is in connection to a new book that I've just released called Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers, Travelogue Number 2, Search for the Blue Skull in Peru. This particular skull has been communicating with me, let's say telepathically, for many years. I think since about in the late 1990s, early 2000s. I have actually not personally, physically seen this crystal skull. So this is what makes my book and my story a little bit mysterious and also could be challenging. Because how can somebody write about something which they've never personally seen or touched? But yet I believe that I have worked with this crystal skull in other lifetimes, and I feel the crystal skull, its essence, is always around me. Like there's a certain direction. Whenever I think about it, I always feel myself drawn or pulled in that way. Mm-hmm. So basically what was happening is I was having visions about this crystal skull, and you know, I'm assuming if you have a lot of listeners that are into the UFOs and the extraterrestrials, they're probably on their own spiritual journey. So we each have our own way in which we have our personal spiritual experiences. And then sometimes, of course, when we have them, it's very difficult, you know, to try to prove to somebody did they really have that experience when it doesn't necessarily occur, let's say, in the physical reality. But I think that really what's happening right now, as you and I are talking, in Washington, D.C., I think they're finishing up right now this conference about, you know, proof of UFOs. And they have,
yes,
you know, very qualified people who are speaking about it. Like I know personally Stanton Friedman is one of the people who's a scientist talking about it. So I think what's happening to planet Earth is people, as they're waking up to their spirituality, as I had experiences, you know, communicating with this blue skull telepathically when I went to Peru and afterwards, that a lot of us are now having these kind of experiences. And as we start to openly talk about it and share, different people say, you know, I had something just like that. Or now I'm listening to Joshua or Martin speak, and now I understand that experience that I had. So what I think the blue skull actually represents is it represents a crystal skull that has been on the Earth for many thousands and thousands of years. It went into a different dimension. That's where it is right now. But what I'm sensing is just as UFO disclosure, I think, is getting very close to becoming real, a lot of these sacred tools that may be in other dimensions are going to start coming back into our dimension, or our dimension is going to elevate so fast and quickly that where that dimension is, where these skulls and these other beings are, we're going to bump into them, because that's what I feel, you know, Mother Earth is doing right now. She's kind of going into higher and higher frequencies and elevation, and this is why more and more people are feeling drawn to listen to radio shows like what you offer, read books, or go to Peru or Mexico or, you know, southwest of England where there are sacred sites and have an experience. So I don't know if that answered your question, but it's really a crystal skull, I think, that exists in another dimension. And, you know, I just have a relationship, and my travels to Peru helped me to understand some aspects about it. So when it decides, because it's a living being as far as I can tell, to come out and have contact with us, then people will be ready. Because it specifically told me to release this book, which is basically my notes when I went to Peru three times to the area where I felt that it was. And I wrote down every day what happened. And, you know, there's people who are now reading this book, and we're getting some really interesting replies from people as it's activating something inside of them.
Well, I surely feel connected to the crystal skulls, and I have met many people in the crop circles in Wiltshire, England, being there several summers, engaging ceremonies inside the crop circles with crystal skulls. So I'm really interested, and it's really amazing what's happening there with their energies. But Joshua, right now as you speak in Washington, D.C., at the National Press Club, people are testifying, like Robert Salas, indeed. And you know what? I just read the channeling from the Pleiadians. And after I read the channeling yesterday, I was having a feeling that very soon, with the first contact, I'm going to meet a friend that was a very good friend for many lifetimes. And he's a Pleiadian. And I'm sure that he's going to visit me and be with me. And it's like... For the first time, I had this communication like, I'm close, I'm coming to you, I'm coming to see you. You know, this is my body, because I'm a starseed, and I know that I'm from the... I've lived in Arcturus, Pleiadians, several galaxies, and the feeling that this friend is close and that he's coming back to me in my lifetime, that's so thrilling, so exciting. And by the way, the Pleiadians are saying, I just have to find it, that disclosure, you know, there's a possibility that ships will uncloak tomorrow above Washington, D.C., to force the media and the governments to release the files and to say, okay, they are here, it's real. And this time it's not going to be a small UFO, that when you film it or photograph it, that there are blurred images. They will be so big that nobody will be able to deny it.
That would be an amazing thing if it happens, Martin.
And yes.
That's kind of the message I've been receiving, is that the extraterrestrials, of course, you know, we have some that are here to help humanity and our spiritual growth, and then there are also some who have their own objective. I think it's time now... with all the movies and everything that's going on, and I felt there was a shift at the end of last year, although we just spoke to a medium, and the medium said the shift started at the end of November, that there was like some kind of vibrational shift in the planet, which probably will make it easier for the extraterrestrials and the interdimensionals and the inner Earth people, etc., who really love us, that want to see peace and harmony with their brothers and sisters on the surface of the earth. As I agree with you, I think, and it's kind of like I hear them whispering, although I can't say what I'm hearing. It's more of a feeling that, you know, they're discussing that, is humanity ready for us to take that next step to really show that we're there? Of course, they have shown this. If anybody, you know, does their own research. I've been going to the public library and taking out all kinds of books, and amazing information has already been written and given by a lot of other people, you know, if somebody finds these books. So it's just, it feels like there's an explosion that's getting ready to happen. And like you, in some different places, like in Mount Shasta and in Peru and et cetera, I've, you know, kind of had... maybe not direct contact, but that telepathic contact, them being in another dimension, you know, kind of like talking and letting you know they're around. So I think something interesting is going to happen, and, you know, hopefully it will be done in a way where you know, it won't be seen as something fearful, but something that, okay, here's the reality that these beings exist. And of course, with the crystal skulls, there seems to be a UFO connection with them as well. And I think that a lot of the extraterrestrials use the crystal skulls as a communication device and observation device, you know, to keep up what's going on here. And now that there are thousands upon thousands of crystal skulls that are available, you know, people want to have one of their own. We get contacted all the time. New people, every week we hear from new people all over the world talking to us about their experiences and their understanding. It's becoming a very interesting time to be alive. And I really believe that what's happening right now in Washington, D.C., it is a sign that this disclosure. I talked to another early UFO researcher, Leo Sprinkle, recently, and yes, he also, because he was helping to regress people that either were contactees or abductees, I think like in the 60s, he worked with Barney and Betty Hill, he told me, and also he's been working with another contactee here. Excuse me, here in the United States, Stan Romanek, who has some amazing books and ETs from the sixth dimension, I believe, if I recall correctly, from Orion, a positive group. I have been speaking through him when he goes into an altered state. So he has a lot of good information in his books. So, you know, it's kind of like the time of prophecies. It's starting to happen, and I think the other key that was given to us by the medium that we spoke to is her spirit guide named Simeon keeps talking about there's going to be two Earths. There's going to be the regular Earth in the third dimension, and there's going to be Terra in the fifth dimension. Mm-hmm. And that the fifth dimension is being prepared for people who are going to evolve and ascend to go into that dimension, and then the people that will still be in the third dimension will have to go through a lot of the challenges we go through now. So we're kind of in an in-between phase of this process between the third dimension of the Earth and the fifth dimension of the Earth, which also kind of makes sense to me because I listened on YouTube. I forget the name of this gentleman. It's I think it's – I don't know. Anyway – if people are interested, they can email us, and I can send them how to listen. But this is supposed to be an individual who was born in the Hollow Earth, which is fifth dimension.
And oh, you mean Soraya?
Colonel Woodard, I believe, is his name.
Okay.
I think that's his name. Now, there's probably more than just him.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Hollow Earth Network?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, the Hollow Earth Network. On the internet.
His inner earth name is Soraya.
Okay, yeah, I never could remember that. Anyway, I saw him speak, and he was talking about also that the inside of the hollow earth is fifth dimension, and that when they brought him out, then his body had to, you know, become used to being in third dimension reality. So,
he was speaking this week. It's very interesting that you bring this up, Joshua, because Soraya from Inner Earth was talking. He is actually this week present in the National Press Club. He was in a few media reports wearing a metal hairband with a crystal on it. Right. And he is speaking about disclosures that are happening and going to happen very soon. So I'm very hopeful with his messages. And indeed, he has amazing information, which is very hopeful and accurate. So
yeah.
I have the feeling that something is very close, something major is going to happen. It's going to shock people in a positive way, and somehow people will realize that this is what they have always known in their subconscious mind, that we are not alone and being visited and engaged by extraterrestrials.
Right. Now, the one other thing that I picked up, and I believe that I know this to be true, because when I lived in Las Vegas, there was one time where a vehicle struck me from behind, and I wasn't looking, so I didn't have any fear or panic, but I know that I was taken out of my body. because it's like everything went from light to dark, and then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I'm in the hospital, and I have no idea how I got there. So I know that my invisible friends probably protected me, and this was an experience I had to go through. And I believe that during the time I was in the coma, I was in a meeting in another dimension, and they showed me everything that was going to happen in the future of the Earth. And I also remember that when I came back, I saw there was kind of like this, you know, it was like a door. There was a person standing in front of the door who apparently I knew, and I was begging him and saying, look, this information is incredible. You need to allow me to remember it so I can tell everybody. And he said, no, I'm sorry. There is a right time when it's going to come up. And when it comes up, you'll just know, you'll remember, you'll have this feeling, something will come over you. So I think that part of what I was shown, 2013, this is the year where it's starting to happen, and it's like, you know, I feel this explosion inside of me. Something is driving me crazy right now because I'm sensing that a type of event is going to happen beyond anything that we've seen so far with UFOs, and we've seen a lot of great things already in the sightings. Something magnificent, something major. But I can't say anything more than that. It's just I'm overwhelmed with this feeling. But the other key that I guess I remember from what they showed me was, is people think UFOs are extraterrestrials from other planets that are coming here and visiting us. But what they don't understand, and this brings together a lot of pieces to the puzzle, is they have actually been here for thousands of years and have had bases on the Earth, probably mostly underground, or like, you know, Colonel Woodward, again, I can't remember his inner Earth name, but he was talking about this too, that, you know, within the hollow Earth, there are extraterrestrials who come and visit, they have their bases there and so on. So when we understand that we are already, they're already here, they've already been here for a long time, this, to me, explains why so many ships are being shown up right now, because they're not traveling, you know, these long distances. Although, they are also saying that depending upon what reality the extraterrestrials come from, they do not necessarily need to have spacecraft to come to the Earth. They have, like, you know, I think in all over the world, people have seen Stargate, you know, the science fiction series Stargate. They have these portals, and literally they can walk through from one portal to another and go from one planet to the other. So, again, if people listen on YouTube, there are discussions about that, you know, working with the aliens, we've already developed these portals. So it's just like everything is just getting ready to come out, and the crystal skulls, of course, are very important too, because especially the older ones have recorded all these things that have happened on the planet over thousands and thousands of years. And eventually we're going to figure out a way how to be able to access all that knowledge and information that they have recorded. You know, it's like if I went back 100 years ago and I brought a DVD, people would look at me and think I'm crazy. You know, there's moving pictures, there's libraries, there's music, you know, on this single disc. They wouldn't believe that. So it's kind of like that those technologies of the past are going to come forward also, so that the entire history of our planet and, you know, who we are, and like you talked about, you're a star person. I already knew that before you said that because I could see the energy coming from your picture. So the history about the planet, this is what I think is going to happen. And it's like, you know, so many people are getting activated all of a sudden right now to start sharing their knowledge and their truth. And the key with all of this will be, what is the action in a peaceful way that the positive extraterrestrials, the inner Earth people, the dimensional people, what is it that they will do in such a way that it'll be like a positive 9/11? It'll be a kind of like an activation of people will go, oh, yeah, this really is real. You know, after all our movies, all our stories on TV and everything, they'll say, my God, what we've been watching on television, it's really true. Because there is actually a friend we have who is a guardian of a crystal skull who worked for secret agency protecting presidents. He was shown things related to UFOs, and he basically made a statement. He said, a lot of the things that you see on television are based on the truth. So, you know, special programs like Fringe, which I don't know if Fringe is shown everywhere, but it showed two parallel Earths, or Sliders, where they're traveling from parallel Earth to parallel Earth, or The Time Tunnel, which was a show that was back in the 60s.
Yes, I remember. I'm not that old. I was born in 77, but I am very interested in science fiction movies.
Yeah.
For me, the best of them is Star Trek, because there's a Federation of Planets, Starfleet, where different civilizations are together, working together like NATO, but in a broader way and in a more peaceful way, of course. And that's so beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about what I think's coming up. I don't know when this is going to happen. I think the year 2013, not 2012, is the time. The number 13, of course, is very important with crystal skulls. They say that there is a master set of 13 original crystal skulls that were created. They also, when I say they, I'm talking about different sources, both through human beings and through people who channel from, you know, galactic sources, say that the solar system we're in has 13 planets also, that there is definitely 12 planets and the sun to make 13, definitely one planet beyond Pluto, and two planets possibly within the corona of the sun that cannot be seen because the light of the sun is too bright, but that when there are certain, I don't know how to say it, kind of like a valence or a color white or something that can be seen within the light of the sun, that's actually the light coming because, you know, all the planets are hollow, so they have an inner sun inside, the light coming from the inner sun through those planets that are covered by the light of the sun. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Theory, that's very interesting. But, you know, as the sun is hollow as well, I believe that there are beings living inside our star also.
Yeah, George Hunt Williamson, who I respect, was an early UFO contactee. In some of his books, he discussed that the sun is a cool body and that in probably a different dimension than our own dimension as we know it, there are beings that live on the sun. So, and the light of the sun really is the illumination of the energy and vibration of the sun. And that's the reason why we perceive it as light. And actually, it's not, you know, the heat we're getting from the sun, it's the atmosphere's reflection of that light which is causing the heat. So,
yeah.
So the thing is when we have this contact with these older brothers and sisters, let's say, then I think what happens is we start to learn about the true sciences and the true reality of what's going on. But the other thing that comes up with the extraterrestrials, which is going to be a little bit difficult for us to understand, is that a lot of them exist in a dimension where time and space, as we know it, doesn't exist for them. So the past, present, and future exist simultaneously. Because there is some discussion from UFO researchers that the Greys, which seems to be the most prolific extraterrestrials that, you know, people have seen, that some are coming from the past, from Zeta Reticuli, and some of them actually are the future human beings coming from our Earth. This is what would happen to humanity if we, you know, became very scientific and so on. So anyway, it's just amazing to me that for civilization where we are, that all of this knowledge and information is really available. You know, the internet, you can go on the internet and you can find pretty much anything that you're looking for. So all this kind of science, so-called science fiction, which probably is based on truth and reality, it's just all coming out right now. And I think if a person really wants to know the truth, that they can very easily, you know, find it. And then as they have encounter with the different possibilities, they have to trust themselves. Oh, that makes sense to me. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, I like that. I'm not sure about that. But
I'm sure that many stories from many science fiction movies will come through, especially Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That was nice music, but I meant the intergalactic radio station from Vangelis. But we'll play that next week. That's all right. Anyway, Joshua, welcome back. And I just want to say that if you want to help me continue the show, go to bbsradio.com/ET First Contact Radio. And then we can continue. And it's on the donation button for PayPal. Underneath the picture of Salusa, which is the image of the station. And, Joshua, I have the feeling that it's getting exciting now. And I really hope that you feel the same. And I feel many others are feeling it too. So what are the possible scenarios? What do you think?
Well, that's hard to predict because I think that these... older brothers and sisters, they have to be extremely careful when they make the contact.
Mm-hmm.
What's the right time to do it and what's the right way to do it that is going to be of the greatest benefit for humanity? Because as much as you and I are like rooting and saying, yeah, come on, we're ready, we want to hug you, we want to do stuff, we want to go on your spacecraft, we want to see all the planets, we want to have the technology that you can bring that could help our world so we can clean up our environment and everything. There's still going to be a lot of people who are going to have hesitation about it and may have some fear about it. So it's really difficult to say. I mean, if you think about it, if you look at everything that's happened so far, how UFOs have been introduced to people. Like, for example, we could take the crop circles, which, you know, like everything else, very controversial. But yet, within the crop circles are some very powerful geometric patterns, which, you know, to my mind, how could two or three people come in one evening and make such an elaborate pattern in a crop circle like that? So, but yet, it is a mystery where, you know, there's an intelligence that's involved creating that, leaving us a message. And it's the same thing, like, you know, where people see sighting of UFOs, like, you know, one of the trips to Peru where I was looking for the blue skull after we did the meditation, I turned around and there was a cloud in the sky all by itself. Now, you have to understand, we were very high up in the Andes Mountains, and this location where I was going, near the border with Ecuador, probably like 14, 15,000 feet high, and there was a cloud that looked exactly like a UFO. And everybody that was there, they saw it. There was no, you know, question, what was this? It obviously was a UFO, and they were helping or participating in our ceremony, our world peace that we were doing. And I believe that the location that we were doing that meditation was where an ancient temple in Lemuria. People who've studied Lemuria know Lemuria was a large continent in the Pacific. But I believe that part of Peru was part of Lemuria. And when Lemuria sank, the Andes Mountains rose. So
yes, I think that too. And the Andes Mountains are a very sacred place. I have the feeling that the Andes Mountains are the most sacred place on Earth. And I'll tell you why. I've read the book from Drunvala Melchizedek. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
Serpent of Light. It's also about 2013, in fact. You know, the Dalai Lama and other very spiritual developed beings, people from the Himalayas, from other continents, are all going and gathering in South America, especially in the Andes Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the feeling I have to get there too as soon as I can to do ceremonies there. And especially today at the citizens' hearing I was watching, there are now in the panel people from Peru, Chile, Uruguay, and Brazil.
Good.
And because the energy is so high in South America, it's also attracting more UFOs than anywhere else in the world.
Well, my experience is, I've been to Brazil and to Peru, is that the people that live in those areas, for them, it's like a normal occurrence if a UFO shows up. It's not, you know, something crazy or something like that. If they miss it, they go, oh, gosh, I missed it. And, you know, when you talk to the indigenous people, especially in Peru, like I remember on the Reed Island when I went with our group and my partner Katrina was there and we had our skulls there, they're talking about UFOs coming out of the water of Lake Titicaca. Plus, in the evening, one of our people in the group captured unbelievable lights moving in the sky, which I have that video on YouTube, on one of our YouTubes, if people are interested to see that. Plus, we also saw a cloud that has lightning, but wasn't making sound. It was kind of like talking to us, which I've seen in Mount Shasta. So, you know, these beings, they're there, and, you know, it's just, I guess they knew there would eventually come a point in time. I think it relates to the 100th monkey concept. And then if you want, I see Jennifer has a call from Santa Fe. The 100th monkey concept basically is saying this idea is especially related to UFOs. When enough people on planet Earth accept the idea that UFOs and extraterrestrials exist, the mass consciousness of every single individual of humanity will accept that. And the same thing with to live together in peace. Because what the book talked about was these monkeys that lived on these islands in Japan. They taught a certain number how to clean a sweet potato. And magically, all the monkeys on all the islands all of a sudden knew how to do that. So I think this consciousness about who we are as divine children of God, that we're multi-dimensional beings, that we, you know, we are infinite beings. We don't die. I mean, you know, we may have lifetimes here, and then when we leave the body, you know, then our soul goes back into the light universes. So mm-hmm. all of this kind of stuff is coming forward. I think the UFO and the ET beings are able to look at every conceivable possibility, you know, like project it out with their computers and whatever, and say, okay, let's try this and see how humanity responds. And they probably already know the perfect way to introduce themselves, as they have been, with just showing up here and there, mystery, what's that, you know, and just kind of waking people up to say, that was really strange. I want to find out what that is and start doing their personal research. So I think something good is coming up.
Yes, indeed, Joshua. Well, let's go to Jennifer from Santa Fe on line one with your question.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, a lot of us light workers, we don't really want to stay here. Even though the Earth is manifesting into this higher dimension, we just really want to go home, back to our home planet. Does mm-hmm. anyone have any idea how many of us will actually be able to go home?
Well, if I may respond first, Joshua, sure. I understand from Sheldon Idle that we can always have the free choice to come to Earth after first contact and after the Earth has ascended into the fifth dimension. And whenever we choose to be on our home planet in Arcturus or Andromeda or the Pleiades or Sirius, we can do that. And we want to be on Earth to see our earthly family. We can come travel back to Earth and we'll travel instantly. It will take only a few minutes to be here. So we will always have the choice to do that.
We all will.
Okay. Yes. What's your take, Joshua?
Well, Jennifer, we do a lot of private sessions for people, and most of the people that we meet are light workers and star people. And, of course, there are many, many of these people who have had great challenges with being in the third-dimensional physical Earth. But what I want to share with you, to look at it from another perspective, is that a lot of very advanced souls, including the children that are being born now, volunteered to come to the Earth for a couple of reasons. The first reason was our presence was necessary. We had to be here. There has to be the hands and feet of God in order to help Mother Earth to go into the higher vibration. So many of us seeing our younger brothers and sisters in great difficulty on the Earth, our heart was bleeding. We said, we're going to go into the incarnational cycle, and we'll be there, and we'll help, and we'll do the best we can, even though we know we are coming to a difficult planet. From another perspective of this, because the Earth is a difficult classroom, there are certain lessons and experiences that some of the beings from other worlds says, you know, the Earth is a very unique place, and even though it's difficult, I would like to go there in order to learn some things that I can't learn anywhere else that will strengthen me. So when I go back home, I'll be able to help my people with some things that they've never thought of possible before. So even though it is difficult, there is a positive outcome that's going to help every light worker and every ET person or star person that's coming here, that they will say it was a blessing that I had the chance to be on the Earth, especially right now when we're going through this tremendous transformation. Normally what happens with most planets is when they're getting ready to jump to higher frequency, it's a smooth transition. It's not like it is here now where we still have wars going on, we still have conflict and so on. But it's almost like what the medium was telling us that we saw, the Earth is separating now like into two parts. One part is going more into the light, and maybe there will be this fifth dimensional Terra, which a lot of us also volunteered to come to help to build. So there's a lot of possibilities here, and I just think that even though sometimes it gets tough, try to look at the positive perspective. If you're just yearning to leave and get out of here, you're missing out on some wonderful opportunities. Mother Earth is a beautiful planet, and there's a lot of things here that can really enrich people. So I just feel like, and this is what I tell other light workers and star people too, look at both sides of it. There is a reason why you're here. You didn't come here to just suffer. There are things that you can learn and grow in experiences that you can't have anywhere else. And I do believe, even now as we're coming close to disclosure, which many people are feeling, you know, now more than ever, the light workers are needed. There are going to be so many people who are going to say, you guys already knew this stuff. I need your help. I need your understanding. So a special mission and work that you volunteered to do, it's coming. And you will be needed. All of us will be needed. So that's the best way I know how to answer your question. I hope it makes sense.
So, it's very tough for a lot of us because on the outside looking in, it pretty much looks like we are leading charmed lives. But from our insight, from the inside out, it's been just unbelievably bad. I mean, really bad. And so we're just sort of at a point, and I feel that we've lost so many light workers because, you know, they were really upset about the December 21st that nothing big happened, and we just have slowly been losing them. Every single day, it seems like they're just giving up and they're going back to bad ways, and it's very sad to see it happen.
Well, I believe 2013 is going to be a major breakthrough, and we're a third of the way through now, and I think, you know, the key is you have to remember, each of us is creating our own reality. We need the light workers to look at the positive aspects of what's here on the earth and to carry that light as best as they can. Go day by day. Don't try to figure out what's coming up in the future and just be a positive cheer, because there are many other people that are looking for someone to give them some positive light. And there are so much miracles and amazing things here. We do not have to listen to what we hear on the media. There, you know, I guess I understand this because, you know, I don't, my partner and I, we don't have the 9-to-5 job. We do the best we can. Our lives go up and down too, just like everyone else. But we know that our mind creates our reality. So if we can be positive, we can create a positive change on the planet. So we just have to do the best that we can. So whatever makes your heart sing, that's what you came here to do. Whatever you love to do, be an example of that for all the people around you, and it will activate that light inside of them.
Yeah. I know that my manifestation skills have certainly come up as well. They're really just fabulous, the things that are coming up. But I know that when I lay out on the chaise lounge at night and I look up at the stars, they put on a show for me that is unbelievable. I see so much every night by just asking if I could please just see something, show me something, you know, entertain me. And it's unbelievable the things that I see just looking up in the sky. It's absolutely wonderful. And I wish everyone out there would just lay out on their chaise lounge for 10 minutes every night, because it will absolutely change their whole life.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Yeah. Well, thanks for chatting.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, and have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Martine, I wonder, we haven't been able yet to give out our website or an email address. Could we do that before the show ends today?
Of course. Go just right ahead, Joshua.
Okay. For any of your listeners who might be more interested in things of the paranormal, crystal skulls, UFO, hollow earth, these are all the areas we cover. Our main website, very easy, is crystalskullexplorers.com. That's crystalskullexplorers.com. And the same with our email address. It's just crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. We have a free ebook that we offer. We have a free newsletter, online newsletter. We do world peace meditations with the crystal skull on the 13th of each day of the month. All of this is listed there. And of course, the new book that I mentioned at the beginning, Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers, Travelogue Number 2, Search for the Blue Skull in Peru. There's a link on that page as well where you can get a copy. Less than 100 copies have gone out so far. It's a really powerful book, the most powerful book I've ever written. And I think anybody who gets a copy, and you can either get the ebook version or you can get the printed book. And we also have done this year and last year online Crystal Skull conferences as well. So instead of people having to travel thousands of miles, you can be right on your home on the internet and you can watch our speakers talking and doing their presentations. That's also on there, or you can go to crystalskullconferences.com. But crystalskullexplorers.com is our main website, the best way to find us.
Well, that's very interesting to know, Joshua. And, you know, the subjects that you cover, like Inner Earth, Lemuria, Atlantis, Peru, the Crystal Skulls, the ETs, Disclosure, Ascension, it's really a broad, and I've looked at your website, and I must say that I was, I need a lot of time to figure it all out, because there's a lot of information there.
Yeah, well, our website has been existed since 95. I can't remember. So, you know, when the internet first came out, we had the first website about crystal skulls. And then also Katrina reminded me to say that we help people also get their own crystal skull. So we have a special page that we're going to be putting up here in the next day or two with certain crystal skulls we have that have sat with our own, who have traveled all over the world collecting energy and information. So those skulls that are looking for their new home that we'll be offering have sat with ours. So they're ready to go. So if somebody's intrigued to have one of their own, we should be able to help them with that too. We have contacts in China and Brazil. And I know that, you know, we have a lot of information on our website. It's because I'm an Aries, and I don't know any other way other than to share everything, you know. So I'm going to share a lot of stuff and just figure out each person will find whatever is appropriate for them on the website.
It's very good to know, Joshua. And maybe we can do another show very soon to cover more information.
Yes, be very happy to do that, Martin.
Yes, because especially today with the citizens hearing on Disclosure and with the prospect and the possibility of real galactic, full galactic disclosure, I was in fact inspired, of course, by having you on the show, but also by playing music that's really inspiring maybe because the song is 8 minutes, I want to say goodbye to you now, Joshua, and play intergalactic radio station from Vangelis. And I want to say namaste and love and light to all the listeners, and really try to listen to this song. It's really amazing. So thank you very much, Joshua, and namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Martin.
sounds, synthesized dialogues. In comprehensible software. Hi, John. Let's break some rules. Here comes the sun. We've done some recordings lately. Same old factory, you know. Here's some names for you. Polyester landscape. Nylon oxygen. Access to concrete. Etc. 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 Oh, by the way, it's been a beautiful morning. What a morning. Great morning. It's a great morning, man.
And